This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِ يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي I praise Allah Almighty and I send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble family, righteous companions and all those that follow them with right guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah. No knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope everyone is doing well, inshallah. We continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. And I just want to continue a little bit of what we started last week, of what needs to be mentioned with the last ayah that we covered before we begin today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, بَعْدَ عُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. The ayah that is talking about how the Jews are the most keen on the dunya. He's telling us a very important character trait about the Jews. And he says, وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Even more than the pagans who do not have an akhirah. The pagans, الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, they don't believe in the day of judgment or paradise or hellfire or anything. So it makes a lot of sense for someone who has no akhirah that this is everything, the dunya is everything. So I live as if there is no akhirah. But for the Jews, they are Ahl Kitab. They were telling the pagans about paradise and hellfire and accountability and the day of judgment. How can you be the most keen on the dunya? This is not praise, as we said before. Though, subhanAllah, the Jews of today are turning it around to make it seem like praise. Oh, Judaism is a religion about this dunya. It's not obsessed with al-akhirah. Okay, this is just a quick refresher for what we covered last time. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blaming them. This kind of hirs, this kind of keenness on the dunya is blameworthy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the other ayat. And this is where the Muslim needs to take heed and listen very carefully. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people of the hellfire, the people who will end up in the hellfire, those are the ones who do not desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor do they believe that they will meet Allah azza wa jal. Then he says, وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They are pleased with this dunya. They're completely satisfied with this dunya and nothing else. Is this how some Muslims live? Possibly. May Allah not make us of those. وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. And they are completely comfortable towards it. But is it not okay as a Muslim to live a good life here in the dunya? No, of course. الْحَيَاءَ الطَّيِّبَةَ. The good life is for the one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya and in the akhirah. But you do not have this characteristic. رَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. It's almost as if they have completely surrendered themselves to this dunya. This dunya is everything. This is the way the Jews are about the dunya. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ. And we said, not sure if I mentioned it, he said, عَلَى حَيَاةٍ. Not الْحَيَاةِ. It's نَكِرَةٍ. He said, حَيَاةٍ. Some dunya, any dunya, good life, bad life, the important thing is the life. It doesn't matter. So everything, all of their eggs, they put in the basket of the dunya and nothing else. good, bad, it doesn't matter. It's all about this life. Forget about anything. That comes later. And maybe because they know, بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, that's why they will not wish for death, because they know what they have put forth and what awaits them of the punishment in the day of judgment. Okay? So the Muslim does not act this way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chastised Bal'am ibn Ba'ura. Bal'am ibn Ba'ura, it is said, knew, had knowledge of the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what happened to him? He reneged. He forgot everything. And the main problem is, as Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. This is what Allah Azza wa Jal is talking about when he says, وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاهُ. How is this blameworthy? Because of this. أَخْلَدُوا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. What does أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ mean? It means they find eternity in this dunya. They live as if eternity is in this dunya, not in al-akhirah. Khulud. Akhlada ila al-ard. So they don't see anything but the dunya. This is what happened to, this is what Allah Azza wa Jal is describing Bal'am ibn Ba'ura with. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. And he followed his own vain desires. This is what is being criticized here. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاهُ. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that whoever makes the dunya his niyyah, his niyyah or his concern. مَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ. Okay, when he talks about al-akhirah in one narration, he mentions niyyatahu. If your whole concern is the dunya, then there are three consequences. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will scatter your affairs. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. You keep trying to bring things together and it keeps getting scattered. If that's happening, then look introspectively at yourself. Have I made the dunya my whole concern? Allah will scatter his affairs and he will make poverty right here between his eyes. Meaning it's something you see all the time. You can never get away from it. You always see how poor you are. Poor in the sense that you keep trying and working for the dunya and you're getting nowhere. Because your whole sole concern is the dunya. And finally he says, and then in the end, after all of that, the only thing that that person will achieve is that which was written for them already. The exact opposite of the one who works for al-akhirah and makes akhirah their concern and makes akhirah their niyyah. Tayyib. Then we come to the verses of today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًّا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Say to them, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًّا لِجِبْرِيلَ, whoever is an enemy to Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salam. Whoever is an enemy to Jibreel. Barakallah feek. Thank you, brother. No, give it to me. Thank you very much. Whoever is an enemy to Jibreel, indeed, he brought it down on your heart by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who would be an enemy to Jibreel? Al-Imam Ibn Jarir al-Tabari says that the ijma' of the scholars of tafsir is that this ayah was revealed, in other words, the reason of revelation, sabab al-nuzul, this ayah was revealed because of the Jews declaring that Jibreel was their enemy. And in one of the narrations, it mentions that the Jews came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they started asking him some questions. Ibn Ishaq's narration, though there may be weakness in it, they asked about four things. Other narrations may be more restricted, and it just mentions that they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who comes to you? Which angel comes to you? All of the prophets and messengers have an angel coming to them. Which angel comes to you? So he said, Jibreel. So they said, he is our enemy. Allahu Akbar. They said, he is our enemy. He comes down with war and fighting. In that narration. Other narrations, they mention other things that they criticize him with. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And then they said, but Mikael, Michael, the other angel, he is the one who comes down with rain and mercy, and he is our ally. So Jibreel is their enemy, and Mikael is their ally. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the following verse. Say to them, من كان عدوا لجبريل فإنه نزله على قلبك. طيب. This is one reason of revelation. The question that the Jews asked of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And wallahu a'lam, there is another reason of revelation. And though those narrations, all of them have some weakness in them from a purely hadith sciences perspective, but all of them together prove that the story happened. And Ibn Hajar rahimahullah says that when you have so many different ways and narrations, that this gives the narration strength. Okay? And this is that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was talking to the Jews now. So he says, radiallahu anhu, that he used to sometimes visit the Jews when they are having their Torah study, when they are studying the Torah between each other. And he would say, I would be amazed at the agreement between the Qur'an and the Torah. How the Qur'an agrees with the Torah and the Torah agrees with the Qur'an. And they said to him, O Umar, there is none that is more beloved to us than you. Let no enemy of Umar radiallahu an, tell you, oh look, see, the Jews loved him. Why did they say that? He said, why? He asked them, why? Why do you say this? They said, because you come to us, you come and you join our session, you come and meet with us. He said to them, I only come to witness and to be amazed by the conformity between the Qur'an and the Torah that you are studying. So then, the Prophet ﷺ passes by behind him, going somewhere else. So they tell him, there's your friend, Muhammad. So Umar turns around and he sees that it is indeed the Prophet ﷺ. So he turns back to them and he said, I ask you by Allah, Don't you know that he is the Messenger of Allah? Don't you believe that he is the Messenger of Allah? So their chief tells the rest of them, he asked you by Allah, answer him. They said to him, you are our chief, you are the leader, you answer him. So he said, yes, we know that he is the Messenger of Allah. So Umar ibn al-Khattab says, then you are the worst of them if you believe this and you admit it and then you don't follow him. So then he said to him, but we have an enemy from the angels, and this is Jibreel, and an ally or someone with whom we are at peace, and this is Mikael, Michael. So Umar says to them, wallahi, it is not for Jibreel to be the enemy of someone who is at peace with Mikael, and it is not for Mikael to be at peace with someone who is the enemy of Jibreel. They are together. They are enemies of whoever is an enemy to them, and they are at peace with whoever is at peace with them. In other words, they are together. So then Umar ran to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets him and he says, Ya ibn al-Khattab, shall I recite to you some of the verses that came down to me? He said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started reciting, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًّا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And the verses continue. So Umar says, wallahi, O Messenger of Allah, by the one who sent you with truth, I was only coming to tell you this. And it seems Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-knowledgeable, the all-aware, knowledgeable of all subtleties, has already informed you and told you. And then Umar says, wallahi, after that, my deen became stronger like a rock. Because, understandably, when you see things, it ignites your iman. When you see certain signs, things that happen in your life, a certain understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, it strengthens your iman. So these two are the reasons of revelation for this ayah. And this is completely acceptable in the science of tafsir, that one ayah may have two reasons of revelation. So it may have been revealed at this, in this incident, and also in that. And it may have happened, obviously, more than once. Very good. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلِ. So now they are declaring their enmity to Jibreel alayhi salam. The apparent excuse is what? Oh, he brings down in the narration of Umar, the narration continues. Because then they said to him, Jibreel comes down, they explain why he's an enemy. So they said he comes down with difficulty and harshness and similar things. But Mikael, he comes down with ease and compassion and stuff like that. SubhanAllah, and they made them enemies of one another. So the apparent reason is that. One may ask, if that's the case, so now if someone comes to you and says to you, Jibreel is my enemy, what would you say? What would your reply be? Just quick, give me a quick response, automatically, without thinking much. Someone comes to you and says, Jibreel is my enemy. You might insult him, you might call him a kafir, right? What else would you say? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Yeah, very natural response. Wouldn't you say something like, well, then if you're an enemy to Jibreel, then you're an enemy to Allah, right? What does the ayah say? In the beginning, no. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلِ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. The words of Allah are not like the words of human beings. Okay, just, it has to be very clear. Okay. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ. فَإِنَّهُ, الضمير عائد إلى جبريل. فَإِنَّهُ, they made themselves enemies to Jibreel. Jibreel is their enemy. He, Jibreel, نَزَّلَهُ, sent it down, brought down. What? نَزَّلَهُ. الهاء في نَزَّلَهُ عائد على القرآن. نَزَّلَهُ على قلبك. Brought it down upon your heart. We'll deal with it one by one. First of all, it seems like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us this is just a smokescreen. What they said about, oh, Jibreel coming down with enmity and war and fighting and this and that, right? Anything mentioned about that in the ayahs in response? Nothing mentioned, right? It's a smokescreen. It seems like, wallahu a'lam, this has nothing to do with it. The main reason for their enmity is because he brought the Quran down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the best way. Their enmity to him is an enmity to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to Jibreel. Notice what they're trying to say. Yes, we believe he's the messenger of Allah. We would follow him and believe in him, but our enemy is coming to him. Oh, if it was someone else, then fine. Again, you see the same theme all throughout. They're playing around with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you believe he's a prophet? Oh, but the problem is our enemy from the angels is coming to him. Does that make any sense by Allah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering them. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ, this is what Allah is saying. Okay? Of course, the Prophet ﷺ is commanded to say to them, but sometimes, this is the case in the Arabic language, he will not say, نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِي, he will say what Allah said to him, which is, فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it down upon your heart. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Again, look at the additions, look at all of the information we're getting. But there's a very important underlined part here. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Jibreel brought the Qur'an down upon the heart of the Prophet ﷺ by the permission of Allah. He didn't do it on his own. Why are you making him an enemy of yours? You want to be enemies to someone? Be enemies to the one who sent him. He came by the permission of Allah. Be enemies to Allah. Declare your enmity to Allah clearly. Jibreel brought it down to the Prophet ﷺ by the permission of Allah, not on his own. You have a problem? Take it up with Allah. Don't take it up with Jibreel. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Notice, subhanAllah. And then he continues and describes the Qur'an as a guidance and a glad tiding. نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ, subhanAllah, as if the Qur'an went straight to the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I always think and say, if the Jews and the Christians had a tenth of an ayah, like this ayah, talking about how the Book of Allah was revealed, straight to the heart of the messenger. They would just celebrate. When you look at the Bible, the Old Testament or the New Testament, you see nothing of the sort. And so many people, even sometimes scholars of theirs, are coming to the conclusion and reaching a conviction that a lot of it is literature, a lot of it is written by people. It's not divinely inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is so clear about how it came down. So, it came down to the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, exactly like the ayah of Surah Al-Shu'ara, نزل به الروح الأمين. The one who came down with it is the trustworthy spirit, Jibreel alayhi salam. نزل به الروح الأمين على قلبك. Same. Upon your heart, لتكون من المنذرين. As if there are no intermediaries, straight to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One may ask, okay, wasn't he hearing Jibreel? Yes, of course. He heard Jibreel recite it and learned it from him and sometimes recited it back to Jibreel. But this may be, wallahu a'lam, this may be the meanings of the Quran which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, and it went straight to his heart. The understanding of the meanings of the Quran, as Allah azza wa jalla says in Surah Al-Qiyamah, ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَهُ. Then it is for us to clarify it. Clarify it to you. How? Allah Azza wa Jal gave it to him. It went straight to his heart. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with the Quran. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. It is a confirmation of that which came before it. So in other words, you Jews who have declared Jibreel alayhi salam as your enemy because he brought the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who you are admitting is a prophet, it is a confirmation of what you have. And that's what Umar was going to witness when he would attend their gathering, to see that conformity and that agreement. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. What's your problem? مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. And we talked about مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ in the past, and the agreement and the confirmation. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And a guidance and a glad tiding for the believers. Indeed, it is a guide to those. In the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Hudan lil-muttaqeen. Of course, it is something that guides. But because of how the Quran itself is a guidance, he called it guidance. The Quran itself is guidance. Hudan wa bushra. But to whom? To the believers, to the pious. Is it a guide to those who do not believe in it? Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the other ayah, it only increases them in disbelief. But when a person opens their mind, wants to know the truth and follow it, it will be a guide for them. And thus it is a guide for the believers. Hudan wa bushra lil mu'min. And a giver of glad tidings. It is full of glad tidings for the believers. It fills their hearts with hope in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a guide for us. Then he says, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ. Now he comes to the part about putting, let's call it, dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Okay? Now it's going to become very clear. But in the beginning he was saying, this is your real problem. The fact that he brought the Qur'an. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ. But now he's saying, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ. Hold on, it's not finished. مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ. Whoever is an enemy to Allah. Wait a minute. Nobody said anything about enmity to Allah. They'll respond with some shock. We said Jibreel is our enemy, not Allah. No, you are an enemy to Jibreel, so Allah is an enemy to you. You declared Jibreel as your enemy, so that means Allah is your enemy. He started out with Allah from the beginning. مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ. What imbecile will become an enemy of Allah? What kind of idiot puts himself or places himself against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. Man kana aduwan lillah wa malaikatihi, and his angels. Again they'll say, no, stop. We didn't say anything about the angels. We love Michael. He is our ally. Same idea. You're an enemy to one angel, you're an enemy to the rest. They're all together. You cannot separate that way. مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ. So if Jibreel is your enemy, that means all the angels are your enemies. مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. And the messengers of Allah. No, we didn't say anything about the messengers of Allah. It doesn't matter. You cannot pick and choose. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. يُرِيدُونَ أَنْ يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. They want to discriminate between Allah and His messengers. No, you cannot. And the same goes for the messengers. You disbelieve in one, you've disbelieved in all. As we have discussed in the past as well. You have to believe in them all. This is the beauty of Iman and faith. This is the situation. As Muslims, this is belief. مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِكَالَ. But he just mentioned all the angels. Why is he mentioning Jibreel and Mikael now specifically? Jibreel and Michael. This in the science of tafsir is known as عَطْفُ الْخَاصْ عَلَى الْعَامِ. عَطْفُ الْخَاصْ عَلَى الْعَامِ. Meaning, first he mentioned that which is general, then he mentioned that which is specific. Jibreel and Mikael are angels. And they are messengers as well, in that sense. But now he mentions them in specific, because it's a more cogent reply. And they cannot do their usual maneuvering and say, no, we didn't say anything about the angels or the messengers. And Jibreel. If you are an enemy to Jibreel, you're an enemy to Allah, you're an enemy to the angels, you're an enemy to the messengers. وَمِكَال. What do you mean? We just said we are friends of Mikael. Michael is our ally. You are an enemy to Mikael as well, because you are an enemy to Jibreel. Umar radiallahu anhu told you, they are together. Jibreel will be an enemy to the enemy of Michael, and Michael will be an enemy to the enemy of Gabriel. وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِكَال. Whoever is an enemy to all of those, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Then Allah is an enemy to the disbelievers. Again, notice the response was what? Not Allah is their enemy. Allah is an enemy to the disbelievers. So he recorded that this is kufr. This kind of enmity to Allah and to the awliya of Allah. These are the awliya of Allah. These are the closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that means you are an enemy of Allah. And that means you have committed an act of kufr. This is kufr, this is disbelief. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Very serious. So, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them to the main point. It's not just, oh yeah, we don't like Jibreel, he's our enemy. Now, it's much more grave. Actually, you have made yourself an enemy to all of these. And you have essentially called yourselves disbelievers. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. It's a stark reminder, brothers and sisters, about the importance of loving Allah and loving for Allah, and hating for Allah. In other words, to love what Allah loves and to abhor what He abhors. It's a very serious issue. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His magnificence and greatness, is now here to defend His beloved Jibreel alayhi salam. Of course, they also tried to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They declared their enmity. But here in this ayah, Allah is saying, don't you dare talk about Jibreel alayhi salam. Allah is defending him. And what kind of a defense? Allah is saying, if you are his enemy, then I am your enemy. Ya Allah. Does it get any clearer than that? Sometimes, if somebody shows enmity towards someone you love, you may not have the courage or the ability to come out and say it that clearly. If you are an enemy to this person, then you are my enemy. Can you say that? This is what Allah is telling them. You are then my enemies. I am an enemy to you if you are an enemy to Jibreel alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. It reminds us of the other ayah with Musa alayhi salam, when he said that the one who will take him is an enemy to me and an enemy to him. يَأْخُذْهُ عَدُوٌ لِي وَعَدُوٌ لَهُ. Ya Musa alayhi salam, the beloved of Allah. Someone is going to take him, Fir'aun, who is an enemy to me and an enemy to him. Similarly here, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. No easy matter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Hadith Qudsi, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ فِي الْحَرْبِ. مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا, whoever shows enmity to one of my awliya, then I have announced or declared to him war, war against him. You show enmity to a wali of Allah, you become the enemy of Allah. Ya Allah. Very serious issue. Okay? This is what's happening in this ayah. مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. One may ask, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Allah is the enemy of the disbelievers. Okay? In the context of the ayah, it is very clear, right? Because they have showed enmity to one of his awliya, and thus it is an enmity towards Allah himself. But if we try to understand it more generally, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Allah is the enemy of the disbelievers. Allah tells us in other ayat that He does not like the disbelievers. He doesn't like the corruptors. He doesn't like the disobedient. He doesn't like the arrogant, and so on and so forth. Right? Many ayahs in the Quran. Does that mean Allah doesn't want guidance for them? If He is their enemy and He doesn't like them. Everyone is silent. Everyone is looking away. Nothing to do with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants guidance for all of His creatures. So this idea, oh, Allah loves everyone and everything. Can we say that just in general like that? No. Does Allah love the shaytan? No. Does Allah love the disbelievers? No. He wants guidance for them. And He loves nothing more than guidance for them. From a shar'i perspective, this is what Allah commands and wants for them. But qadaran, because of their disbelief, He is an enemy. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. He does not like their disbelief, but that doesn't mean He doesn't want them to be guided and to repent to Him. In fact, as we know, as in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, nothing is more beloved to him than the repentance of one of his slave servants. As in the hadith about the nomad in the desert getting lost and then going for a quick nap, and then he loses everything, his animal, his transport, all of his preparations that he had. All of a sudden he has nothing, and then he finds it and he is exhilarated and he is so happy that he confuses Allah with himself, and he says, oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. The Prophet ﷺ says Allah is happier when one of his slaves repents to him than this man. Allah loves nothing more than guidance, but we don't use that terminology. Allah loves everyone. Allah loves this disbeliever. No, Allah doesn't like the disbelievers because of their disbelief, because of their enmity towards Him or towards... Because in the end, a disbeliever has not believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you disbelieve in one prophet, you have disbelieved in all. It's a very serious crime. When you worship gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the worst of sins. When you declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a son or a wife, or that the angels are the daughters of Allah, the heavens are about to fall on you and you do not know it. As Allah tells us in the Quran, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful and wants nothing more than guidance for His slave servants. But there's going to be a difference necessarily. You cannot make equal those who love Allah and live their lives for Allah and those who put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other side and declare themselves as enemies to Him or to one of His messengers or to one of His angels. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Okay. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahu.